Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to Behind the Review, a behind-the-scenes look at the work we do here at the Review of Journalism. Over the course of the fall 2024 semester, our team worked on their print features, reporting on the widespread changes happening within the Canadian journalism industry. And so, this podcast series will serve as a deep dive into their reporting process, shedding light on why it's important to tell these stories now. Today, I'm joined by Neda Madani, who covered the subject of how Canadian fashion has a lack of visibility in mainstream media coverage. Hi, Neda. Thanks for joining me here today.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for that introduction. It's so good to be here today.
I'm so glad. I haven't had the chance to talk to you in a while.
I know. It's been so long, and I'm so excited for our chat today.
Oh, it's going to be a great chat. I'm sure it will be. So for any of our listeners who don't know, Neda is one of our fashion girlies. She's currently doing her internship at a fashion magazine, right?
Yes, it's been such a good time. And I was actually on the Review last year or last semester as well. It's really good to be back.
Oh my God, you've come full circle.
I know. And we're going to talk about the fashion industry today. So that's going to be fun.
It's going to be a really great talk.
Yeah.
So in terms of like the print feature that you wrote, tell me a bit about the inspiration for this piece and what led you to realize that Canadian fashion wasn't being covered well.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in the Greater Toronto Area and also kind of having a passion for fashion and storytelling, I feel like throughout my university years and being a part of student publications, I noticed kind of a gap in reporting and coverage on homegrown Canadian designers in comparison to other major cities like New York, London, Milan. And I think having been a part of the scene and kind of having friends in the industry as well, I identified so much creative talent that I had never heard about until I was covering these spaces myself. So I guess that was kind of the inspiration. It was more of like curiosity. Why is this the case? And how can we change for more visibility towards these creatives?
No, absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit more about this idea of like homegrown fashion? I'm very curious to know more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. In general, there are not a lot of spaces for these designers to showcase their creativity. And the one major event, I feel like, I don't know if you've heard of Fashion Art Toronto. They're the longest running fashion event in Toronto. I would say Canada as well. I think they're starting to kind of get more attraction from like Montreal and Vancouver and such. So to answer your question about homegrown designers, just creatives who are not necessarily from Toronto, but based in Toronto and creating here without the desire to take their talents elsewhere.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. And they can kind of like puts, I mean, if Toronto isn't already in like on their map where people go to, like at least we have another reason for them to like come like, oh yeah, look, we have a very amazing fashion culture here.
Yeah, and we do. There's so many creative people here. And I think that was the whole point of this. It's like, why are people not talking about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good word, recognizing. Yeah.
So would you say that this kind of like aligns with what you like to write about as a journalist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do kind of indulge in like fashion, arts, and culture around the world as well. But I feel like the Toronto scene is so, well, it's different and more special to me because I'm from here. But also I feel like it has a sense of welcoming and inclusivity that I don't see everywhere. We're such a multicultural city and we get a lot of different, there's a lot to see and there's a lot of stories behind this creativity. I just want to hear all about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like people need to recognize fashion for that. Like it's in many ways, it's a great form of storytelling as well. So I love that you tapped into that.
Yeah.
So in writing this piece, you were able to speak to editors at Fashion Magazine and Elle, two of Canada's biggest publications dedicated to fashion news.
Yeah.
Did they have some valuable insights into why Canadian magazines haven't been covering much Canadian fashion?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like approaching the story, my mind was kind of in a place where like, well, I can cover these spaces. Why can't a mainstream publication cover these spaces? But I feel like, especially after my talk with Annika, who's also my supervisor at my internship right now, she kind of went in and explained that there are definitely efforts and they have the connects and they know the industry well. However, because Canada kind of lacks that interest in fashion from its consumers and demographics, it's been very hard to cover these spaces without neglecting the advertisers and kind of without considering what their demographic wants to read about, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, so all roads led to advertisers and the kind of risk there would be with kind of having this teeter-totter almost with advertisers and then homegrown talent and Canadian talent, which they, and I've noticed since my internship, the conversation is brought up. How can we support these artists? And especially now with the tariffs and this push for yes. people to shop locally, there's been a humongous shift. It's almost, and these stores are doing really well for us right now as well. It's almost like people want to purchase things where they know where they came from and they want it to feel close to them. We're seeing this really big shift. So I'm hopeful for the future. And I know that it's a conversation being talked about and they're just trying to find that balance.
Absolutely. And like the work of advertisers, I guess, like they really help support like these more local artists as well. Like it's very dependent on like.
Absolutely. I know a lot of magazines are driven by advertisers, which I that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just how it's always been run. But obviously there's not a lot of support and backing for these independent homegrown designers. So it's kind of hard to make space for them while still making their business run.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. So in your story, one of your sources says that while establishing a Canadian cultural identity as a neighbor to the U.S., Canada is possibly too humble for its own good. What do you think you meant by that?
Yeah, this was actually like a conversation that came up in multiple of my interviews with sources, that Canada kind of gets overshadowed by the United States. And to some extent, I feel that that's very true. I mean, you even see it in our musical artists. Like, for example, we have Tate McRae right now who's blowing up, and she's all of her kind of coverage is coming from the U.S. She's performing in the U.S. Fashion shows, celebrities, etc. A lot of our eyes go to the U.S. And I feel like since we're very focused on American culture, in turn, we've kind of neglected our own, if that makes sense. And we've kind of prevented from our kind of arts, culture, and fashion landscape to grow and flourish.
Mm-hmm. That's a big piece. I mean, you hear that about like not just within the world of fashion, but like just, we're associated in general as Canadians for being like far too like humble or like, oh my God.
And I can't even like count the amount of times I've heard, well, I want to move to the U.S. or I want to move to Europe because
it's
this is
a complicated argument.
Yeah. This is the place where my career will ultimately succeed. This is where the most opportunities are. But the question kind of comes up, it's like, can we build our own opportunities here and can we kind of shift this issue?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, journalism in general is very cutthroat. So if you don't have like a firm plan of how to represent yourself or represent your brand, then that's...
Yeah.
Exactly. So then from reporting on this subject, what are some... I mean, I don't know if you feel comfortable speaking on this, but in your mind at least, what are some possible solutions to this? And is there something that one of your sources told you that stands out as like something Canadian journalists can do to cover more Canadian fashion?
Yeah, I mean, recognizing them, I feel like, is the first step in acknowledging their talents and creativity. A shift in consumer, the consumer matters a lot in terms of what they care about purchasing, what they care about reading. I spoke to Nolan Bryant, and this stuck out because he doesn't come from a traditional magazine background. He's the Globe and Mail's society columnist. And he's been there for years. So he kind of has an interesting outlook on the fashion industry because he has so much connects. But he said that in-depth reporting, so not necessarily what's happening right now, but more so, what does this designer do in their free time? Or what's the story behind this garment? You know, something to really kind of grab and show almost like behind the scenes.
Absolutely. And people are always drawn to that. I think you'll find.
Like, that's what I'm drawn to. I feel like we lack that here in Canada with our designers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like not exactly like a grim forecast of what's to come, but it definitely shows like what the work that still needs to be done.
Absolutely. And I think it's an attainable change.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the future of fashion journalism in Canada? And as an intern at Fashion Magazine, what are some ways in which you are hoping to contribute to that future?
So to answer your question about how do I feel, I see a lot of hopefulness in kind of my age demographic of journalists who care about fashion, arts, and culture. I feel like we're really hungry to kind of represent these artists who are not getting enough coverage. I also am hopeful because of the shift in kind of Shop Canadian and all the tariffs are terrible. But I feel like at the same time, it's forcing people to consider their purchasing and consider homegrown designers. And as for my contributions, I've spent my 4 years of my undergrad covering and speaking to designers on a podcast I also co-host. And I want to continue doing that. I want to hear their stories and keep telling their stories. Like sometimes they'll say something to me and I'm like, wow, like I want to write a whole feature about this one thing you just told me. And I want to continue having these thoughts and having this hopefulness and keep covering these spaces.
Absolutely, as you should. And I wanted to kind of hone in on that. Yes, for our listeners, Netta also co-hosts a podcast. So could you please share the name of that so we can encourage more people to listen?
Absolutely. So I began co-hosting the Style Circle podcast last year with my co-host Isabella. And this year we're both co-directors. So it's been really, really fun. Well, we've released 4 episodes of our Fashion Art Toronto series where we've spoken with designers on each episode. So check it out. That's been really fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that everyone's kind of talking about tariffs and it's kind of everyone's in a little bit of a panic state about that. I guess we do have to kind of like acknowledge that there is, I don't want to say a positive side to this, but like, as like kind of like perhaps like a result of this, like because of, you know, consumers' attention being kind of turned in like just towards Toronto rather than like outwardly, there is, I guess, more opportunity for exposure for local artists. So I guess I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Like, you know, even though tariffs are these, we're not happy about it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it, in some way it has like allowed for our attention to be turned towards more local like artisans and like designers?
Yeah, I remember we were going into our production meeting one day. And my editor had just told me, hey, like, we're kind of thinking of writing this piece in light of the tariffs about shopping Canadian and how we can kind of give more exposure to these Canadian brands. And I remember literally telling her, yeah, people are going to be forced to shop Canadian now, because that was like something I've been really passionate about, is shopping Canadian brands. We should support our homegrown talent. The whole story is about that.
Homegrown talent. I love that.
I know. Yeah. But yeah, it was kind of a bittersweet thought, because obviously the tariffs are not great.
25%. Is it still, has he budged on that? I don't know,
but I hope we see light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely.
With this. But yeah, just going back to that, I remember in the production meeting, we were going back and forth, like, well, who do we want to include? And someone with a lot of influence at the magazine said, well, we should include indie designers, independent designers. And in my head, like, the light bulb went on, like, yes, like, thank goodness. Like, we're, like, because I had already formulated a list for this story, and they got approved. So it was really, really nice to kind of witness this change, because I hadn't written this story that long ago. So it was like, we're seeing change now, and it's exciting.
Yeah. And honestly, I hope that, you know, just, you know, if we do see the light at the end of the tunnel with these tariffs, I do hope that like that does not like that, that still allows for these local designers to like retain that kind of like exposure and retain that following that they've developed as a result of like this unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
Because I think that like, I like, you know, I'm not trying to be like one of those people who are like, you know, like doom and gloom, but I just hope that like once they do develop that following, it stays that way, because you know, it would be nice for the more like local artists to have that kind of like recognition, because there are a lot of stories that still need to be told in terms of, like, their inspiration for like their designs.
Absolutely. And it's also quite exciting. I interviewed a couple of designers for the Fashion Art Toronto series on the Style Circle podcast, and a couple of them are beginning their own website, so you can shop directly from the website.
Oh, really?
That's
a lot more accessible.
Exactly, and that's not really an opportunity that's been handed to them.
Right.
Most of the time, I notice that it's just like rentals and et cetera.
I was gonna ask
garments. Yeah.
How did they, like, prior to this, like, how did they, and without, like, you know, the help of advertisers, how did they kind of like essentially promote themselves? I wonder, did you get to speak to them on that?
Yeah, I mean, the whole feature story wouldn't have happened without Vanya Vasek, who is the director and founder of Fashion Art Toronto. And I think it's also notable to mention Vicky Milner, who runs the CAFA Awards, Canadian Arts and Fashion Awards. They're advocates for these designers. Like, they will push for their recognition where people will not push. Mm-hmm. there aren't a lot of opportunities for them to get exposure. There's not a lot of resources they have to backing them or funding or support as much as other cities give to their creatives. So it's not really a conversation that I've kind of engaged with these designers. However, from what I've noticed, it's primarily on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their Instagram pages and their small initiatives around the city to like archive. And there's a couple other like small fashion weeks and kind of incubators that help promote and support these artists. But then again, there's not too much.
I wanted to ask, are there like any kind of events hosted by like Fashion Magazine or like these names that you mentioned, like where it allows these designers to like network or like meet new people? Do they like ever do any? I mean, I guess kind of like in this, like the event that you wrote about, like where they get to kind of essentially showcase their designs. But yeah. Other than that, I wonder.
I mean, I'm not too sure about Fashion Magazine.
Or sorry, like any kind of like other vegan fashion brand. That...
There are tons around Canada. I know Montreal has a lot of incubators and initiatives created for Canadian designers. But so far from what I know in Toronto, we have Indigenous Fashion Week. We have Plus Size Toronto Fashion Week. Then we have Fashion at Toronto. Archive hosts a biannual fashion event every year, and it's an exciting time because we're seeing more people kind of have a desire for beginning initiative to support these designers. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting because I've seen a lot of students create magazines and outlets and publications to support these designers in like different aspects. From like, we have Hughes Magazine, which is honing in on arts and culture, I guess the whole realm. And then I believe there's another one as well. But so to speak, there's a push for this and people want more of it. And it's an exciting time.
Now our media just needs to get on that.
Yeah, and like... exactly. And I know that it puts them in a tough position as well, kind of with their business agenda. However, it's an exciting perspective to see from younger journalists.
Absolutely. I think as you were saying, like our generation, we're like showing like a fervent love of this and like a want to like see it like prosper and like go far. So I think that, you know, how our parents are always saying, oh, you guys are the future, you know, it's all to you. There you go.
We are. Yeah. And I'm seeing it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a great conversation. I've learned a lot about the fashion world. I wasn't the most knowledgeable going into it, but just learning about the whole like culture within Toronto, it's been really, I enjoyed reading about that in your piece.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Evan, and the Review of Journalism. I had so much fun chatting with you today.
I'm your host, Evan Zeller. This episode was produced by me and Chloe Kim. If you enjoyed this episode, explore all of our podcasts in the podcast tab at reviewofjournalism.ca. Thanks for listening.